Om Shanti. We heard Murali the other day about enthusiasm. And as I was reading the Murali, I was appreciating the depth and the power of the Murali and realizing that it's such an important subject for people out there in the world, but also especially for Brahmins. Baba has described enthusiasm as the breath of Brahmin life. What happens when you stop breathing? You stop living. And so a little bit the same story with enthusiasm. If I stop having enthusiasm, then it's very difficult to survive as a Brahmin and to carry on. And before I go into any further analysis of enthusiasm, I'd like to share a few stories of the practical vision of enthusiasm that we've been able to experience from Baba and the Dadis, and it will bring alive what enthusiasm is and how it functions. And some of you may have heard this first story before, but that's okay, because when we talk about Baba, those stories then bring alive that image in front of our eyes, and if that is the image printed in our hearts, then that is what Brahmin life is about. It was the month of August when it's monsoons and rains in India, and I was on holiday here in India with my mother, who was Pakka BK, and me and my little brother, we were just tagging along. But we knew Baba, we had love for Baba. And it must have been 1966. And at the end of the night class, and night class used to be very light, not a heavy strong dose, but a little bit of chit-chat and so on. And at the end of the night class, Baba looked at Bholi Dadi and said, "It's cold, and it would be so nice to serve all the children the special cereal called lapsi, which makes a very nice, sweet, hot porridge." And Baba said, "It would be so nice to serve the children this lapsi tomorrow morning as toli after class." And nobody would ever say no to Baba, so she just smiled. And Baba then looked at her again and said, "Do you have that ground, the grain?" And she had to say no, Baba. And Baba said to her, "Well, do you have the grain ready?" And again, Baba understood that it wasn't ready. And so Baba said, "Okay." And Baba then called her and said, it was the history hall, so it wasn't so far away. But anyway, then Baba called her and said, "Okay, you get the sack of grain out there. And you know where the travel office, Om Prakash Bhai's office and Dadi Ratan Moini's office and all those offices now are?" Well, at that time, it was just an open veranda with just a tin roof. And Chandras Dada's room was there. That was closed. But the rest of it was an open veranda with just this tin roof. And so Baba said to her to get this sack of grain there and 15 trays. And she went ahead and she organized that. Meanwhile, Baba closed with drishti and meditation. And at the end of the meditation, Baba went out through the door of the history hall, and instead of going to his room, Baba went to that veranda. And of course, if children get a chance to follow Baba, they can't follow Baba into his room, that they would have followed him to the door of the room. And now that Baba was going on a different route, all of them followed the Pied Piper. And so they were all going behind. It wasn't a huge number of us, because monsoons, the only party was about 10 of us from Pune with Adi Janki. And then the rest of it was Madhuban Nivasis, basically, which at that time was about 30 people. And at that time, just 4 or 5 brothers, maybe 6. The rest were sisters, and most of them sisters who were not so well, who couldn't stay at centers or, you know, fairly aged. And we all followed Baba onto the veranda, and Baba knew exactly where he was going and what he wanted to do. And Baba got a tray and filled it up with the grain. And you know that in India you don't get little packets that are cleaned. You get sacks, at least in Madhuban, and you have to clean it. And so Baba started cleaning the grain. And of course, the person who was next to Baba said, "No, no, Baba, let me do it." And they took the tray. Baba took another tray, same thing. And within the space of 5 minutes, 15 people had 15 trays. And within 10 minutes, literally, we were just standing there, 10, 15 minutes, the whole sack got cleaned and it got sent off to be ground. We had our own grinding machine, a natural one. And so it went off to be ground, and next morning, guess what we had for Toli? We had exactly what Baba had wanted. And so Baba's enthusiasm, you could change the word enthusiasm for love, for passion. Baba's enthusiasm and love for life and passion for life and love for the children and the impossible became very easy, very possible. Otherwise, at night at 10 o'clock, you get the grain, you get it clean. You know, it's a long story. How do you manage it? But Baba's enthusiasm, and it sparked everyone, and it just happened. Another story, and many of you here in this room were around at that time, and it's around the end of January or early February, and Dadi Kumarka has an inspiration, and this must have been some years before she became ill, and she used to come into class and say, "Today Dadi had a thought." We never ever heard Dadi use the word "I," right, Helena? She never used the word "I." Dadi. Dadi had the thought, like she's talking about somebody else, not herself. So Dadi had the thought, and it is that we should have gatherings of 100,000 people to come together to hear Baba's knowledge. 100,000 people. Imagine. And she said it with such enthusiasm. And of course, when people said to her, "When are you thinking about this?" And she said, "Now, do it now." No question of, you know, a plan for a year ahead or anything. Now. And Ahmedabad took it up. And in 3 weeks, Ahmedabad had got together, and I was at the program, no exaggeration. Sarala Didi got together her teams of the teachers from the different centers, and they worked it all out. And in India, you know, you hire a ground, not so much a hall, if you want to gather 100,000 people together. And so they hired this ground somewhere, and they organized it all, and the organization was incredible. I mean, moving 100 people is something. Moving 100,000 people is another thing. But moving their cars and their buses, now that's another story. And they had it all organized, and the whole city was served, but also the whole state cooperated. And such enthusiasm. And Dadiji, she just had a thought and she'd shared it, and such enthusiasm that everything happened so easily, so naturally. And another time, A few years after that, again, some of you may have been around that time, but we arrived for Shivratri, again around the month of February. Actually, to complete the other story, Ahmedabad was the first, but then after that, within the next month, there was Bombay, there was Chennai, there were Calcutta, many places. And then it sparked off a whole series of events through the whole of the year. And within a year, every single state of India had had a major event. They called them the mega events. They'd had these mega events for 100,000 people everywhere. Every state had had it. And then not just the state capitals and the other smaller places. I mean, smaller is only by Indian standards, it's still many millions population. But the other cities in that state, then they also started to have. So it led to a huge amount of service in India. And the other thing, that is love for Brahmins and the concern to feed Brahmins. You know how she would come into class and offer chips and ice cream and all sorts of things. But this was a preparation for Shivratri, and we heard that what everybody was going to receive would be packets of 36 different varieties of tolis and fruits for Shivratri. And you know, then we started hearing the stories behind this from other people. And they said that a few weeks earlier, Dadi had been meeting the Madhuban Nivasis, and by then things were happening in Shantivan. And so she'd had a meeting with the Madhuban Nivasis, her group at that time, and she'd said to them, "When it's Shivratri, we try to offer bhog to Baba of how many varieties of food there are, varieties of food in terms of the number of years of the Baba's anniversary. So like 75 and, you know, 74, 73, all of this." And she said to them, "But we don't usually offer them to all the Brahmins. Everybody gets a little of everything, but nobody gets everything." And they began to get an inkling of where she was heading. And she carried on and she said, "Well, this year, I would like all the Brahmins to receive 36 different varieties of tolis and fruits. Can we do it?" And instantly they said, "Jiha, Daddy, if this is your thought, we're going to do it." And that is enthusiasm. And of course, everybody said yes. And apparently then they started making a list of all the different things to put in. And when it came to, when you're making up these lists, then you think about the sweet tolis, you think about the savory tolis. I'm not suggesting that you do it at your centers, but if ever you want to do it, that's the way to do it. You make a list of the sweet things, you make a list of the savory things, and you make a list of the dry fruits, and then you make a list of the fresh fruits. And so when they started to make a list of the dry fruits, then the person who's responsible for the stock of that said, "But Daddy, I don't think we've got enough for 12,000 Brahmins, because it was going to be about 12,000-15,000 Brahmins that were going to come for Shivratri." And he said to Daddy, "I don't think we've got enough of that in stock, but what I can do is to go to Delhi and purchase all this and come back, and it'll just take me 3 days, a day to go, a day to go shopping, a day to come back. And shall I do that?" And Daddy said, "Yes, of course." And so somebody went off to Delhi, somebody went off to Ahmedabad to get the fresh fruits. All of this machine started. And then the packing. If you've ever packed tolis at your centers, you know what a job that is. And nobody's ever packed tolis for more than 5,000 people, right? Some places have not packed tolis for more than 100 people. But at least some places, Singapore and London and Oxford, we've packed tolis for 10,000 at a time. But 12,000, 36 different varieties, now that's quite something. And apparently there was one particular hall that was designated as the packing place. And I didn't see that myself because the packing had happened by the time I'd arrived. But they had all these brothers and sisters at long, long tables and everybody packing, 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 packing like a conveyor belt. And Dadiji and her enthusiasm. So that's the second story. The third story, Dadiji, it was two stories in one. The third story, a little bit different, but again you can see enthusiasm. And it was very recent, it was last year. And a brother came to me saying that it's a new country and he's not managing to get a job and it's his country, he knows the language, but he's not managing to get students, he's not managing to get a job and things are a bit difficult. And so he says to me, well, I don't know what to do about it. I don't think I can carry on like this. And of course, not just a question of practicalities, but also no company. And so his stage was a little bit down. And it's definitely the opposite of enthusiasm, a feeling of hopelessness. And my concern was that he shouldn't feel pressure. And so I said to him, okay, we've tried and nothing much is happening there. So it's okay, you can go back to this other place and it should be fine. But let's meet Daddy and just finalize it. So we come in front of Daddy and Daddy hears the story. And then Daddy says, but Baba never allows us to close down a place. If something has started somewhere, you have to keep the flame burning. You can never say that there's no response, that nothing is going on, that it's not possible. Okay, you've got enough money to last you for another month, and then you have to go back to this other place to get your job. Okay, you go back there and try for another month and see what happens. And that is enthusiasm. And he couldn't say no to Daddy. And so he goes back with that hope in his heart. And somebody in the other country where he had actually taken Gyan, and he wanted to go back there again and have the company and job and everything. And he found somebody who had the finances and who had the time. And she came to us and she said to us, well, can I go there for a month and try? And maybe then I can carry on. And of course, Daddy gives her blessings. And off she goes. And this is last August. And where are we now? It's now been, it must have been the August before actually, because she's now been there for over a year, about a year and a half. And things are going fine. Service is happening slowly. But things are going on. And the center didn't shut down. So Baba's place carries on serving people. And so a whole country continues to be served because of Daddy's enthusiasm and her ability to inspire another. And so whether it's mobilizing 100 people, whether it's doing something which seems difficult, or whether it's inspiring one other person to continue to serve, I've seen how enthusiasm works. And when Baba would be meeting the Dadis early on, Baba would be meeting them in a lot of detail. Nowadays, it's just a few sentences that Baba speaks to the Dadis, and it's a little bit of chit-chat, and drama has changed, and the time that Baba gives the Dadis even is very, very little. But early on, and through all the 80s and 90s, I used to notice that one of the things that Baba always, always said to the Dadis was, with your zeal and enthusiasm, you're making others move forward. With your zeal and enthusiasm, you are flying forward and you're enabling others to fly also. And so zeal and enthusiasm came in so many different conversations that Baba had with the Dadis. And until then, I hadn't even realized that zeal and enthusiasm were specific qualities that were associated with spirituality. Here's spirituality, and you think about introversion, reflection, and concentration, and focus, and all of this. But you don't think about enthusiasm as being part of the subject of spirituality. And it was because Baba, through the 80s and 90s, kept commenting on the zeal and enthusiasm of the Dadis, that I began to appreciate and realize that truly it is the breath of Brahman life. And without that zeal and enthusiasm, you're not able to move forward, you're not able to keep alive. The word enthusiasm comes from a word in Greek. And the word theos comes in the middle, enthusiasm. And so the word theos comes in the middle of that. And the word theos, I don't think there's anyone here from Greece, but it means God. And so when you have God at the heart of something, then there's enthusiasm. Otherwise, it's not there. But when God is in the heart of something, then there's enthusiasm. And so just think about it, and you'll see how the whole subject of study, and where Baba very often comments, you know, where somebody says, and Baba takes it up in the Murali, you know, I'll see what there is in drama and what my fortune is. And Baba's comment about that, well, that isn't even effort. If you're beginning with that thought, well, let me see what will happen, that's not effort. But enthusiasm in study, and yes, I'm studying, and I'm interested to hear what God has to say every day. It's this enthusiasm, and you see it in the Dadis, the love with which they read the Murali, and they share Baba's stories. There's life there, there's power there, and it's their enthusiasm in their own study that's able to inspire us to have love for the Murali and love for study also. And so study doesn't happen unless there's enthusiasm. Yoga. I've realized that when I love yoga, then my yoga is filled with love. If I don't love the subject of yoga, then my yoga is very dry. And of course, then there's a backlash of that. And I don't enjoy it, I'm not getting any results from it. And so the Baba talked about the pressure, reducing the pressure of your interest and enthusiasm. And so the pressure reduces. And so yoga becomes sidelined. It's not a subject that's of such value. But without yoga, how am I going to survive? And so my enthusiasm for yoga, my love for yoga, is going to bring me experiences of Baba's love. And with that, I'm going to be able to stay focused and concentrate. If I'm not enthusiastic about the subject of yoga, I won't focus. I can't concentrate. My mind will go all over the place. Some of you may have heard the story of Arjuna and how Arjuna actually failed, but it was a big lesson for him then to learn and not fail. But somebody who was not a student of archery, they show Arjuna the warrior learning how to shoot with a bow and arrow. And so the guru, the teacher, says to Arjuna, "Arjuna, what do you see?" And Arjuna describes the whole scene. He's seeing the tree, he's seeing the bird, he's seeing all the background. And the guru says, guru, teacher, so the guru says, fail. And a few others come along and they're describing what they see. Fail, fail, fail. And then this person who's been living in the village and hasn't had any training or anything, he comes along and he says, let me try. And okay. And the guru asks him, what you see? And he says, I see the pupil in the eye of the bird. What else do you see? Nothing. That's all I see. I see the pupil in the eye. And the guru says, pass. And so yoga, absolute passion and focus and love and enthusiasm to reach my goal. Where do I want to go? What is it that I want to achieve? If I'm distracted by other things, then I'm not going to have yoga. It's as simple as that. And there will be distractions. There'll always be distractions. But what is it that I want? And when I realize that what I want is to be able to connect with God, and God is just a point of light, that's it. So it means total focus and attention. So my enthusiasm for yoga allows me to focus, and I have that passion and that love to be able to connect deeply. Dharana. I love Baba. I have the enthusiasm to do what Baba's asking me to do. And yes, I'm going to get up early in the morning. I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to follow the path of purity. I'm going to follow the instructions that God is giving. And even though my nature might not be very sweet, I'm going to make effort to become sweet, simply out of love for Baba. Transformation begins to happen. I'm enthusiastic about transforming my sanskars because of my love for Baba. So when God is there, right in the heart of everything, then yes, that enthusiasm is going to carry me forward. And I'm going to start seeing things move in my dharana. Two things that interfere with my dharana and my transformation. Must be many things, but two things that I'm thinking of that I've seen along the journey is criticism and cynicism. And criticism, well, you know, they shouldn't be doing that, they shouldn't be doing the other. And so my mind starts going into what Baba described the other day as the why and the what. And Baba talked about that at great length, that when these questions come, then the pressure of your enthusiasm is reduced. And so absolutely, instead of seeing myself and asking myself the question, what is it that I must do? It's the vision focused out there. And so I'm not seeing Baba, I'm not seeing myself, and so no enthusiasm. So criticism. Cynicism. That's something else I've seen happen to so many on the path of Raja Yoga. And I've thought about it very deeply. And what I see is, this is what I've observed and what I've understood, and there must be many other factors too. But what I've seen is that if a person isn't making the sincere effort for transformation, then in a sense they lose hope. But they also, it's not just loss of hope for the self, it's also as if there's loss of faith. Loss of hope in the self is loss of faith in the self. But also they lose faith in others. And they can't believe that anybody else is genuinely making effort for transformation and is actually achieving some results. They become cynical about the efforts that others are making also. And cynicism is really poisonous, because it's poisoning myself, but I'm speaking out of that cynicism, and it's poisoning the hearts of others too. And it's destroying my faith, but it's also destroying the faith of others. And you know, sometimes people say that, well, so-and-so said this about so-and-so. And I say, do you think it's true? And they say, well, I'm not quite sure, but there might be some truth in it. And you can see that the words they've heard are already influencing them. Yesterday and today, Baba spoken about that in the blessing, Parmat, the influence of others on my mind. And so, if I'm exposed to others who are making cynical statements, and I allow myself to keep that company, my mind is definitely going to be influenced and poisoned. And if I hear somebody making statements like that, and I say, but you know, my experience is something else, and they're not going to come back to me to try and pollute or poison my mind again. If I say, oh really, that's very interesting, tell me more, then of course the door's going to open, and every time it's an invitation, they're going to come back to me again and again. So I mustn't allow my efforts to slacken, so that then I lose hope in myself and I become cynical. But equally, I mustn't allow my mind to be poisoned by somebody else who's cynical either, because that again is a killer for my enthusiasm and my faith. And so my dharana depends very much on my enthusiasm out of love for Baba to do what Baba's asking me to do. Over the last few years, I've noticed that when Baba gives us some homework, or when Baba gives us a challenge, then Baba will say, out of love for Baba, this is what Baba wants you to do. Out of love for Baba, are you not able to do this or this or this? In the Sakar Muralis, it's very specifically about purity. Baba will say, out of love for Baba, will you not follow the path of purity? But in recent times, in the Avyakt Muralis, it's been about anger, it's been about becoming sweet, it's been about stopping waste thoughts, different things that Baba wants us to imbibe. But Baba will position it in that way. Like now, the gift. What is a gift? It's a symbol of love, an expression of love. So Baba's not saying, make me a promise. That sounds a bit hard, a bit tough. Baba's saying, give me a gift. And what's the gift that he's asking us for? Give me a gift that you're going to stop waste thoughts. You're not going to have any more waste thoughts. So the dharana that happens with enthusiasm when there's love for God is really a process of transformation that's ongoing, and it'll move forward. The subject of service, well, the things that I described to you earlier, Baba inspiring the Brahmins just to make some toli preparations for that, Dadiji motivating all of us for different aspects of service, whether Brahmin karma yoga service or service of the world out there, Dadi Janki inspiring souls to serve a country. Service only happens when there's enthusiasm. Service can never happen as a duty. If you're giving the course to somebody and you're not enthusiastic yourself about jnana, how much do you think they'll absorb? Not very much, really. The words you're saying might be all true, but if you're not sharing it with that love and passion and enthusiasm, don't expect them to come back again. When you're working with others, well, the stories of Brahma Baba, Dadiji and everyone demonstrated it very clearly, that the whole aspect of cooperation depends on love, and through the love, the enthusiasm. On one level, you'd say, you know, what's the big deal? Instead of making this particular toli, Baba could have said, okay, tell me what there is in stock, and we'll just have that for toli tomorrow morning. But Baba's love for the children, Baba's love for life, and Baba's interest in moving things, the energy, to keep the energy high and to keep moving things. And Baba said, no, this is the toli that I want to feed my children. And Baba made it happen. Baba didn't just give an instruction and say, okay, now you get on with it and do whatever you can. No. Baba was there to help and actually start things going. And so everybody else also joined in. Dadiji, I remember when we were literally, physically moving stones from the mountain across the road from Pandav Bhavan. How many of you are part of that story of actually lifting the stones from that mountain? I know Helena was there. And great, some of you were there. Good. So this would have been around 80, 81, because Om Shanti Bhavan was completed in 83. And it took a few years to construct. It didn't happen very fast, but it was slowly, slowly, slowly. And Dadiji herself, every day, maybe 2-3 times a day sometimes, would go out there and she would be climbing over the rocks and she would be helping us move those rocks. And it would be not a job for 10-15 minutes. Some of us would be moving rocks for 2 hours at a time. And after that you couldn't do it anymore. But Dadi would come with her smile, with her finger, giving us help and cooperation, feeding us truly, and everything happened. And so, whether it's physical karma yoga service, and Dadi Janki always says, I don't even use this word karma yoga. I use the word seva. Seva is a lovely word. On a simple level of translation, it just means service. But the word seva in itself carries this feeling of real deep devotion within it. When you do seva, you don't just do something. You're doing it out of the feeling of love and faith for God. Love and faith for humanity also. So she'd say, this is yajna seva. It's not just karma yoga. Karma yoga has become a very ordinary expression that we use, but yajna seva, service of the yajna. And so, if I'm enthusiastic about service, whether it's physical service, whether it's vocal service, whether it's mind, body, wealth, whatever it may be, then yes, the blessings I earn through that are multiplied. But on the other side, the inspiration it gives others is also wonderful. There was a person who was doing karma yoga in Baba's house at one point, and you could see her heart wasn't really in it, but she was doing it. And Daddy then explained, and then Daddy sat with her and said, well, what is it that you'd really like to do? And Daddy shifted her to the department that she was really interested in, even though the real need was here, but she wanted to be elsewhere, so Daddy said, fine, move. But Daddy's explanation was very interesting. If I'm doing seva, service, but I'm doing it simply as a duty, then yes, Baba is feeding me, Baba is looking after me. Or if I'm coming to the center and I'm doing some service there, Baba's going to give me the return of that to the extent that I'm doing it, but I won't be earning blessings. If you do a job, you get paid for it. But if you do something out of love, then you earn blessings. And so, whatever service it is I do for Baba, let me do it for Baba. I'm not doing it for somebody else. I remember very early days in London, and Baba had a little car, and I would be driving that little car around and taking Daddy here and there in it. And at some point, somebody said, can I take up the responsibility of keeping the car clean? And I was a little bit embarrassed because I hadn't been able to manage to keep the car clean. And so I said, yes, I'll be very good. And so the first time that he cleaned the car, he cleaned it outside, inside, and really it was a good job. I said, thank you. And this brother turned around and said to me, well, that's okay, you're being polite, but you don't need to thank me. I did it for Baba. And I thought that's a very important lesson for me. He was very, very aware that he wasn't doing it for me. He was doing it for Baba. That if I also, whatever it is I do, I have this thought that I'm doing it for Baba, then I do it with that love, I do it with that passion. The other day, Daddy had to go down for a meeting, and she was already down, but she came racing up the mountain, and she got here after 10:30, I think. That's right, she came up, and then she went to the hospital to see the patients who were there. And so by the time she came to Gyan's Road, it was already 10:30. And next morning, Amrit Vela and Murali, and she's then given Toli to over 1,000 people. And then she's met a few people, and then she's gone racing downstairs for a meeting. And then after that, she's on her way to Gujarat. Now, what was all that about? A crazy, crazy timetable. Which is simply love and enthusiasm to meet all of us. And she doesn't do things by half and say, okay, I've read the Murali and that's enough. Now I have to go and do other things. But no, the importance of meeting each one individually. Someone sitting far away at the end, I can scarcely recognize who they are. But they come and they take Toli, then yes, there's a connection there. I know who it is who's here in Madhuban. I know who's around. And so to do everything, whatever it may be, you know, somebody might think, but you know, she's going to meet Brahmins every single day. So what? What's the big deal? But no, that enthusiasm and fired by love. And because there is that love, then whatever it is that's being done, the vibrations that are communicated are of love. And so the big, big lesson for me from the Dadis is a very powerful expression of spirituality is enthusiasm. And it happens because there's love for everyone and everything, and whatever it is that I'm doing is for Baba. God is there right in the center of it, in the heart of it. I've talked about some of the factors that create the lack of enthusiasm. I want to talk about, well, if I'm feeling that my battery's a little bit down, how can I recharge the battery and again generate that enthusiasm that maybe I had when I first came to Baba, and maybe it's reduced over time. One very, very powerful and beautiful way is to just count your blessings. And I don't mean the little cards that you receive, but truly, from the moment you've come to Baba, think about how Baba found you. And each one's story is absolutely unique. It really is. And I have the fortune of hearing many stories, and I know that two are just not the same. Every story is completely unique. So take time to think about how you personally were found by Baba. And it's true. I could have been searching the whole of my life for many, many lives. But until the moment that God came looking for me and touched my intellect, I didn't recognize Baba. So it was definitely Baba who found me. And then from that moment on, just think about everything that's happened in your life that has been beautiful. And just count that as a blessing. Somebody said to me, "What fortune? What blessings?" And I knew their story to a certain extent, and I told them, "This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, and that was a blessing." And they said, "Yes, now I understand." And so start thinking about it and actually writing it down. All the blessings that I've had since Baba found me. And you'll find that Baba has helped you so much, so much, so much. That's why you're alive and that's why you're here. And when you start appreciating that, then you'll say, "Yes, thank you, Baba." And when you begin to feel gratitude, so appreciating your fortune, feeling gratitude and experiencing love for Baba, these are the things that are going to fire your enthusiasm. And you'll actually feel your enthusiasm rising. The other thing, it's connected with this, but I want to focus a little bit on just the subject of Gyan. And how when you appreciate how much knowledge Baba has given us, and how Baba has kept no secrets hidden from us at all. Again, I appreciate why I came to Baba, and the enthusiasm again emerges. Baba often says in the Murali, and he came again today, Baba has all knowledge, is the ocean of knowledge, and Baba comes to give you so much knowledge that you become the master ocean of knowledge. Now just think about it. How much knowledge has Baba given us? Whether it's the knowledge of the soul, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of karma, the knowledge of the cycle. I was meeting somebody yesterday, a person who's not a Rajyogi, but they've been friends of the family for a long time, and they said, "More and more I'm seeing the things that are going on in the world, and I'm seeing that the time of upheaval isn't going to come. It's already come." And I said, "Well, under all the other layers, I think that there's a BK hiding there." And he laughed and said, "Yes, I'm sure." But the point is that Baba has told us all the secrets about all the things that we are witnessing right now. And so nothing new, whether it's the upheaval of nature, whether it's the upheaval of people and the stories of the Middle East, that the stories just carry on, carry on, carry on. Baba told us already, you know, if somebody gives you a tiny little secret and says, you know, this is very important, this is an inside story, it makes you feel quite powerful and important, right? If you've got some inside information about something. And here's Baba telling us the inside story of what's going on in the whole wide world. The beginning, the middle, and the end. And so sometimes I'm amazed at how much Baba trusts us and how he shares all his secrets with us. There was a time when I used to find it quite challenging to talk to people about the cycle, and especially the repetition of the cycle. And now, somehow, it's become easier in the sense that people can see very much that it's a big time of transition. But many of you who teach the course know that the cycle becomes the sticking point. And I used to think to myself, you know, if Baba gave us just a little bit of information and not all the information, it would be easier to give gyan to others. In the sense that, you know, if we didn't know that the cycle repeats every time, it would make it much easier to explain to other people, right? So, but now I realize that, of course, Baba had to tell us everything. There's no way that Baba can tell us only a little bit and not everything. Baba wants us to become like he is. And so Baba keeps no secrets. Baba tells us everything that is there within the heart of God, within the mind of God, within the soul that is God. Whatever are the secrets, Baba shares with the Brahmins, with his family, so that we also can understand everything. And having understood everything, then with the power of all of that, we're able to know where we're going and what it is we need to do. If you don't have a clear picture, if you don't have a clear map, then it's very easy to get lost in the by streets, the side streets. But when you have a clear map, then you know exactly how to get to where you want to go. And so Baba gives us a very clear map. When I think about Baba's trust in us and all the secrets that Baba shared with us, my enthusiasm and my love for Baba increases, and I say, thank you, Baba. I'm happy to be here. I'm in the right place at the right time, and I know that you're with me. And so think about your fortune. Think about the secrets that God has shared that others in the wide world just don't know about at all. And you'll feel your enthusiasm rising. And throw away distractions, criticism, and cynicism. Just focus on Baba and what it is I have to do. Om Shanti. Let's have meditation with Baba. I let go of all the things outside. And even all the things inside. And I focus my vision on Baba, the Supreme, the Benevolent One, the ocean, the bestower, the one who has come to help me fly. The one who is giving me salvation. I focus on the being of light, the Supreme. And as my thoughts connect with Baba, just I, the being of light, and my parent, the Supreme, the point of light, I realize that this is all I need. This is all I want. I had searched for God. I had searched for truth. I had searched for love. And Baba, the Supreme, is the truth. Baba is love. And as I focus on Baba, the waves of love reach me. And the power of truth touches the soul. And I'm able to understand the illusions I have been holding on to. And I can let go. This is the purpose of my life. The purpose of my existence, to know you, Baba, and to be with you. And in Baba's presence, as Baba's love reaches me, as I fill myself with this love, I understand that this is what life is about. To experience God's love and to be an instrument to share this. Somehow I'd forgotten that this is what my life is about. and my enthusiasm had reduced somewhat. But now, in Baba's presence, feeling Baba's love, I realize that there's nothing more that I need. Nothing else that I want. And the power of Baba's love inspires me to let go of the habits that I had gradually acquired, to let go of the weaknesses that I had been holding on to, and this power of love liberates me from those. And I begin to shine. Letting go of my weaknesses and my habits. Changes my perspective, my vision. And Baba's love moves me from the limited into the unlimited. Baba, the one with an unlimited heart, and I, the soul, Baba's child, take this as a gift from Baba to have a big heart, a generous heart, power of truth, helps me understand the difference between the real and the false. I have begun this journey of understanding, yet still, so often, illusion and falsehood blocked my way. Staying connected with Baba begin to see. My ego that prevented me from seeing the truth. My dependencies. That obstructed my vision of the truth. And the light of truth from God continues to shine. Light of truth shows me what I must do and where I need to go. Fired with enthusiasm, to reach my goal and be an instrument to share the love and light, I stay connected with Baba and continue to fill myself, but also now to be an instrument to share the peace, the love, and the truth.